And I am delighted to welcome back to our studios KUMD alumnus, but also a local musician, Rick McLean.
Hey, good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Always great to have you here, Rick. And you are releasing your first full-length album. You did an EP. You were here a couple years ago talking about the EP that you were releasing.
Yeah, yeah.
But now you've got a full-length album coming out. Very exciting.
Yeah, yeah. So I think that must have been 2015. I recorded a 5-track EP with Jason Russo at Beaner Central. And then, I had had enough material to do a full length, and just took me a while to put all the pieces together. But my friend Gabe Naughton from the band Gin Street recorded it with a cool DIY setup. And, it's fun to have the full band on an album. I'm happy with the way it turned out. You know, with this album, we got to expand musicianship a little bit. I have my brother Mike on drums again. And then Jacob Swanson's become the live bass player, so we had him track the bass on there. And then various other friends popping in. My roommate Ian Vincent does some backup vocals on there. We have Kyle Ola doing some fiddle on there. And I'm happy with how it all came together.
All right. Well, let's hear a song, and then we'll come back and chat a little bit more about the new album. What do you want to start with?
I figure I'll start off with Million Dollar Country Song. I wrote this one while working at a gas station, and Top 40 Country would always be playing. Not always, but I just thought I could try my hand at writing a Top 40 Country song. So here it is. Well, Sunday I go to church, Monday I go to my job, Tuesday I know that the mortgage is due, and Wednesday I lost my dog. When Thursday comes around, I just don't know what I should do to help me get rid of these low down, no good, sorry old country blues. I'll have a cold beer on the flatbed of my Chevy Silverado on a Friday night. I got a pretty lady and she told me later maybe, so I reach into the cooler for another Coors Light. Hey! Well, I'm barbecuing briskets for my gravy-covered biscuits, and I'm drinking Southern Comfort out of plastic cups. I'll act like I don't know you if you don't like Coca-Cola, and if you ain't down with freedom, you can shut the front door. I wear blue jeans to the district court. I wasted all my money betting on sports, and it'll be a cold day in hell when you get my gun. My father taught me how to be a man by spitting tobacco into a can, and I know of one surefire way that I can have fun, and that's a cold beer on the flatbed of my Chevy Silverado on a Friday night. I got a pretty lady and she told me later maybe, so I reach into the cooler for another Coors Light. Grizzly Wintergreen, Monster Energy drinks, Harley Davidson t-shirts, Mountain Dew, Jack Lynx beef jerky.
That is Rick McLean, live from Studio A, Million Dollar Country Song. I love the backstory of that you were inspired by kind of being forced to listen to.
Yeah, yeah, and you know, they changed up the playlist from time to time, but every time I would hear a Top 40 Country song, it's like, wow, there's a lot of product placement in these. So I think that's the key to having a hit, you know, and just run through the usual list of things that need to be in a country song, and then see what kind of sponsorships you can get.
If you added some what is that called? The vocal encoding, what
auto-tuning.
Yeah. I was subjected to some of that music recently, and was really surprised at
auto-tune in a country song.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah, yeah, I suppose, like, it's really kind of evolving. You know?
It's really kind of moved into the pop arena in a lot of ways.
I blame Taylor Swift.
that song is a lot of fun. And so you said that you did this, that your first EP you actually did with Jason Musso at Beaners because you had won some studio time with him.
Mm-hmm.
So this time you... could decide what you wanted to do. You didn't have that thing in your lap to say, oh, this is what I have to do. So how did you end up working with Gabe? And
you know, they had mentioned that they were starting to record stuff, and they recorded a Paper Parlors album and had been recording some Gin Street stuff, and I was just kind of ready to record again, so I asked them if they'd record this one, and yeah, it was fun. A lot of it was recorded at Studio 15, which was kind of the precursor to Blush. A lot of the same people that ran that are involved with Blush now, and then just a DIY setup that moved from my house to Gabe's house, and just kind of mixing and mastering as we went along. So yeah.
So you made it in various places.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. So. Okay. And, yeah, it was just fun to get different friends in on it for little cameos. Like I mentioned, Ian Vincent doing some falsetto backup vocals with us, and Kyle on fiddle. And, yeah, it was cool to get different friends involved.
Mm-hmm. And how did this one feel as far as the songs that you had and that recording? How does the finished product feel different to you than the...
I feel like this is a lot less folky than the first one, definitely more kind of garage rock, I guess, which, I mean, that's a lot of what I listen to, as well as, you know, Jacob and Gabe, so I think, you know, we kind of moved it in that direction, and a lot of these songs I've had written for a number of years. I'd say at least half of them were already written before I recorded the EP. I was just finding how I wanted to release it all, so I'm happy that I split them up. They kind of stand alone as their own separate entities. So,
mm-hmm. And a lot of humor in what you do.
Thank you. Yeah.
which is one thing that kind of makes you stand apart. How a song like that, like, when is it just you're listening to that top 40 every night and it just starts coming to you, or do you think?
Yeah, and I suppose that song wasn't very hard. I just kind of, you know.
You just took notes.
Yeah, I just took notes. It's like, all right, you need a pickup truck, you need beer, you need women, you need some product placement. So I just kind of ran through the stereotypes of top 40 country and cranked that one out. Actually, Sean Mahoney of Gallus and Trash Cats, he was my boss at the time, and he says I owe him a bottle of whiskey or something because I wrote it on the clock. So, yeah, so Sean, if you're listening, I'll get you some Windsor or something.
At some point.
Yeah.
So you had a bunch of these songs already kind of that had been sticking around for a while.
Yeah.
And then tell me about some of the newer ones.
Some of the newer ones, I mean, I've just kind of been writing them as I went along, and I've been writing a lot more lately, too, so I'm already kind of starting to plan the next one, and I'm thinking I may do another, you know, short EP that's kind of more the follow-up to the last EP. It'll kind of pair together with that a bit more, just because I've been writing some more sort of folkier tunes. That I think would work well as an EP, and everything in between, you know, they've kind of all got their own genre in a way. I mean, you know, they fit together in a set if I order them correctly, but I like the idea of just writing whatever song comes to you instead of being like, ah, is this my sound? Like, does this fit my set list? I like the idea of just going for it and making it work. And, I've been happy with the direction things have turned.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's great, because if you just kind of tried to stick with the same thing all the time, then you wouldn't evolve as an artist.
Right, and you know, end up writing similar stuff, which, I mean, that's fine, too. But, yeah, I've liked to let myself branch out a bit, and I hope to branch out further to kind of, you know, really... just write whatever the song needs to be instead of what I what I feel would fit on an album.
When you were here a couple of years ago, you were talking about you did have the band, but I think it was fairly recent, and you were still doing a lot of solo stuff. Is it still a lot of solo stuff and some band stuff, or are you doing more band stuff?
I'd say it's kind of flipped now. Mm-hmm. At that point, I'd say I was predominantly solo shows with the occasional band show, and now it's predominantly full band sets with solo shows popping up here and there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I'd mentioned last time I was here, I really like them both for different reasons. I like kind of the intimate nature of a solo show. I feel like lyrically really connect with the audience more on an in-depth level, but then with the full band, it's got a different energy, and it's louder and more danceable, and mm-hmm. I like them both for different reasons, and I'm glad that I am able to do both depending on the situation.
Mm-hmm. So. But it must be fun to be able to have the band more often.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. And, they're both pumped about it. And, it's been a fun bonding experience, just having my brother on drums. It's just a common hobby we have together. And then Jacob and I live together. And it's been, cool having something to work on,
Mm-hmm. So. Fun. Well, let's hear another tune. What do you want to do next?
Okay, I think this one is really new. I think it'll be on the next release. I know I did that last time I was here. I played one that was on this release, so maybe I'll make that a tradition of my KUMDN sessions.
It's pretty common for artists like who have just released an album, and they come in, they're like, oh yeah, we're already working on.
yeah, because I mean, you got to keep writing to keep your brain active, Mm-hmm. So I think I'll play a new one, and then one off the new album after that, if that works for you.
That works.
All right, so, this one, I don't have a title set in stone yet, but this will be off the next album that I haven't put any work into yet. You've been working too hard, you could use a rest. Quit both of your jobs and move out west, where you can get by on halfway decent looks and a credit card built to your old address. Earning peanut shells for wishing out a fire. Necktie wrapped around you like piano wire, while you're hanging on to things that help take the weight off your chest. Like a beautiful lady that laughs till she cries, scientific reactions that light up the skies, a compassionate look from a pair of brown eyes would do me fine. The late night dip in your birthday suit, while the tree of life learns to move its roots, and your worst ideas prove to be of some use after sitting on them for some time. Soapbox sprouted up, causing traffic congestion, turning candlelight on the cost of elections. Still, Elaine broke free, sending spectators on their way home. An onslaught of worry got you staying up late, as if there wasn't already too much on your plate. So we put the world's problems on hold to figure out our own. The foot in my mouth made it harder to breathe, but I kept on fighting till I got through the knee. And the languages look blurry when attached to our sleeves, so I can understand if they're not easy to read. The waves be motion heading under tow, they would drag us to the bottom till it let us go. When we got a sense of balance and we dried off our clothes, it felt good to breathe a sigh of relief. If the words don't come out right by morning, please excuse tonight's, I'm nothing more than a soft machine.
That's Rick McLean live from Studio A and a new, so far untitled song.
Yeah, I was thinking sowing seeds, but sowing spelt like the pagan holiday where Halloween comes from.
Oh, okay.
So it looked like Samhain seeds, but mm-hmm. I don't know. I feel like with my name, I already have enough Celtic words that are hard to pronounce correctly, so I don't know if I mm-hmm. need to go that route. But anyhow.
What inspired that song?
Just various things, just kind of things that bother you, things that make you happy, how they all just kind of occupy your time and you work through the good and the bad, I guess. And that one's kind of more just observational about life and finding interesting ways to phrase it, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, the last one that you played was really, you know, very much meant to be a funny song. And
yeah,
and but even when you do a song that isn't that way, you have the wordplay in there that is so enjoyable. Do you spend a lot of time on the lyrics? Does it take a lot?
Yeah, I mean that's definitely the most time-consuming part. Well, I wouldn't say time-consuming. That almost has a negative connotation to it. I put the most time into it, mm-hmm. you know, and I have the most fun with it. And, you know, I definitely enjoy writing riffs and coming up with interesting melodies, but the lyrics are definitely kind of why I got into performing and kind of what I feel inspired to do, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Are you someone who reads a lot, who's always read a lot?
I used to read a lot more. Like most people in the 21st century, I've succumbed to a lot more TV binging lately. I've been meaning to get back into reading more because I've always really enjoyed it. And now I'm getting caught up on all the shows I've always wanted to watch. So once I'm done with The Wire on HBO, once I'm caught up on that, I'll be okay to just say, all right, no more TV. Let's crack the books open again.
So. Well, I'm just curious because you do have, you know, the words are so important to what you do. So I'm wondering if that's...
Yeah.
See, often for people, you also enjoy them in the written form.
I definitely do. Yeah,
lyric writers.
And I've got a stack of books I've been meaning to read, so I think it's time I get back into that. I think that's a good winter activity to nuzzle up and read a
book. But I'm not trying to shame you into that. I just want you to know.
No. But I'm trying to persuade myself mm-hmm. into living up to my promises to myself mm-hmm. to be like, all right, you're mm-hmm. going to read more this year, Rick. So
you are. And then maybe that will inspire more, you know, more trains of thought for music.
Yeah. I mean, I do think reading is a very essential part of writing, you know, and, mm-hmm. And, you know, listening to music too, like, you know, finding lyricists that you really respect and kind of, taking note of some of the things that they do. And, I think, finding inspiring work is mm-hmm. a good part of inspiring yourself to keep working.
Are there other who are some artists that you particularly pay attention to their lyrics?
I've obviously given my T-shirt and all. I mean, Shane McGowan of the Pogues was always big for me. Tom Waits, Bob Dylan, of course. Jeff Rosenstock, he's a punk musician out of New York, and he used to be in a band called Bomb the Music Industry, and now he's been doing solo stuff, which is essentially Bomb the Music Industry with a different band. But I honestly feel like he's been the biggest inspiration on me, just because he kind of has a similar way of venting about life in a funny way, you know. So I've liked him since high school, and it's good to see he's still doing stuff and making commentary without getting too serious. So,
mm-hmm. Let's hear another one. What do you want to do next?
Okay, this one is the closer on the album, it's called Bohemian Bible.
Thank you. the people's floors. Well, I've climbed out my share of windows, and I've climbed up all I thought was climbable, but now I plan to open up some doors. You can come with me if you'd like to. You can just kick back in your old chair. But you can find good things all around you. You can just write in your own despair. You can just write in your own despair. My body's feeling electrified from the touch of my feet on solid ground. You can call me whatever you'd like to. You can throw me under the bus. Don't go just me and you're just one of us. 'Cause I'm just me and you're just one of us. Well, our home can act as a portal when you try to wrap your mind around the soul, but you can dismiss that as hocus about with different gangs, but all I really wanted was to find some decent folk. Yes, two different times I have found them. Other times it was awfully hard to see. Nobody's expecting be perfect. 'Cause perfect ain't something that I'm trying to be. 'Cause perfect ain't something that I'm trying to be. 'Cause perfect ain't something that I'm trying to be. 'Cause perfect ain't something that I'm trying to be.
Rick McLean, Bohemian Bible, live from Studio A, and another track from his new album, Here's Another Fine Mess. I love that title.
Thank you. It's a Laurel and Hardy reference.
Yeah. I'm happy to know that someone as young as you knows that reference.
Yeah. I think those guys stand the test of time, the finest comedic duo in history. So I hope kids 100 years from now are watching Laurel and Hardy videos.
And you also happen to be a talented artist. I'm going to assume you did the artwork.
I did do the album art. It's a self-portrait of me as a dog with the good and the bad spilling out my head. So,
Well, and that song that you just did kind of fit, has that concept as well, the good and the bad.
So, I was happy to you know, get to... I always like doodling, so I that was actually originally a tattoo idea, but then I decided to put it on an album instead because it's just as long-lasting. Hopefully. Yeah, who knows? Maybe nobody will care about me in 3 years. I don't know.
I don't know about that.
Well, who knows? We'll see.
What have you been doing longer, art or music?
Art, definitely. Mm-hmm. I mean, that started when I was a toddler, you mm-hmm. know, just scribbling with crayons and stuff mm-hmm. and getting upset if I missed out on paint at preschool, you know. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I've definitely been drawing my whole life and then kind of started playing around with music when I was about 7 or 8 and then playing guitar when I was about 10. So, they've both kind of risen together, but drawing has always been around longer.
You've always been a creative person, in other words.
I like to think so, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's what my mom tells me, so. Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Rick. It was really a treat to have you here.
It was great to be here.
And we look forward to spending more time with the album that you just handed it to me, so I'm really excited I get to listen to it.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Today's Live from Studio A was produced by me, Christine Dean, with help from Morgan Kohler and Amy McNamara, with funding provided by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Thanks for listening.